We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. When I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month, with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels, with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Phone number's 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email an audio file if you want to record it on your smart device and send it that way. A little bit better sounding audio, hopefully, as long as you're not like standing in a wind tunnel or through a sunroof of a car as it's moving. Or
okay.
I get some like that. Sometimes you're like, where did you record this?
The sunroof of a car?
Sometimes it sounds like that.
Okay.
Or you could just be standing outdoors in Kansas, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that could be the case too. But be cognizant of wherever you're calling from. Speakerphone's not usually a good idea. Either is wind. Please do send in your stories. You can email those, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
It made me, when I said that through the sunroof of a car, made me think of an episode of 6 Feet Under, which was a good show back when it was on, where at the beginning of every single episode, it's like a 2 minute vignette of someone dying.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of fun because you never knew how it was going to go.
Sure.
And it's people that really, you don't really aren't super connected to on the show. It's just like, these are the people who are then going to be taken into the funeral home. Because that's what the family that the show is surrounded by. But there was one episode I remember where it was like the girls were out partying. It was a bachelorette party or something. And they're standing in the over the sunroof.
Mm-hmm.
And they go under a low-hanging bridge.
Oh.
And that's how that ended.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that'd be a pretty damn low bridge.
It would, but they exist like out in the country and stuff. I mean, I've been down pretty low bridges. I don't know if they exist so much anymore, but I remember being a kid and out in the boonies, or as the people where I'm from call it the Holy Land, out in that area. They some backcountry roads, sometimes you have that.
Hmm.
Well, I could see that happening with kids. I know I've seen it happen, not seen it personally, but I know it's not like a fable or anything, but it actually happens quite often with snowmobilers.
Okay.
Up there on going down creeks and riding down those in the darkness and with a lot of speed, because there's a lot of low-hanging bridges if you're just going to try and ride your snowmobile underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
Where if it's dark, if you're intoxicated, not paying attention, you can also fall victim to those bridges. And that I think is a little more common.
Well, sure, because that's, you know, the clearance of the top of the creek to the bottom of the bridge.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought bridges had to be a set, at least a set height.
I'm sure they do now.
Okay.
But that's probably more like main, you know, municipality roads and stuff, too. Some of your back woods roads. You know, there's also out in some of those roads, you know, bridges that that you cross that only are like one car.
Sure.
You know, it's like, and that's, I'm sure, not up to code of today. But I think there's just, there used to be some of those relics, and there probably are some of those relics that are still out there.
Okay.
That just continue to take lives left and right. This is creepy to think about.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of all the, now I'm like, on my mind's going on snowmobile deaths, and it's just, there's so many horrible things I've heard of that over my life. How's this for an idea? You're going, and people on snowmobiles, you know, and then you're going over water because you're going to try and skim the top of it and just get over that little thing, but your snowmobile accidentally goes underneath the water, and then you're under the ice, under the water, because you're trying to go over the little puddle you thought was skippable.
Yeah. That
happens.
Horrible.
Yeah, it sounds like a horror movie, but it happens. Uh-huh. And it's just, God. Anyhow. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's hear some ghost horror stories, shall we? Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Shelby. I'm 25, and I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. And I did email you about my experience, but I thought I'd give you guys a call. But it was while I was living in Phoenix and with my mom, stepdad, and little brother. And I always had an uneasy feeling inside my room. I never really had any ideas of why I would feel uneasy, but I seriously could never fall asleep, or I'd always have to sleep with the light on. I'd tell my mom I couldn't sleep, or I felt uncomfortable, but you know, they just ignore me and say you're fine. But anyways, one night when my stepdad and little brother, well, actually, I'm sorry, my stepdad and little brother went out of town for a week to Ohio to visit family, and it was just going to be my mom and I for the week. So we were obviously getting all settled in at night, and I took the opportunity to go in their bedroom and sleep with my mom. And I woke up and I had that weird feeling, and I look up towards the ceiling and I see a red dot circling the ceiling in just circular motion slowly. And I immediately look over out the window because it looked like a laser light. It looked like one of those red laser lights you would shine through the window. And our curtains were completely shut. So that's when I became terrified. I was just so terrified, because then it just clicked to me that, okay, I already know what this is. This has got to be some type of paranormal event. And it was still circling, so I nudged my mom and I was like, "Mom, look up." What? And in complete panic, you know, my mom was quiet, and she didn't even have any words to say. We were just laying there and watching it, and it wouldn't go away. It was just slowly circling above our ceiling, this red dot. And finally, she was like, "You're just close your eyes, go to sleep, and it'll go away." So that pretty much confirmed it for me as well. Like, she saw the same thing I was seeing. But we didn't talk about it the next day. I was too scared to bring it up. But years later, we did discuss it, and we were able to, you know, agree that we thought it was something paranormal. And I had looked it up later on through the years, and I've seen people that had similar experiences, so I figured it may have been an orb, maybe. But there's no explanation for what had happened, and that's the scariest part about it. So, but that was my experience, and hopefully you guys air it, but if not, I love your show, and it's so nice hearing about everybody else's experiences, because ever since mine, I feel like I'm not obsessed with the paranormal, but I am very intrigued with, you know, ghosts. But anyways, thank you so much. Bye.
I think it was pretty much an orb that they saw. If they ruled out any possibility of what it could be, and it's just circling the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. This is not the first time I've heard the laser light thing. Mm-hmm. In regards to like unexplained activity that is similar to an orb type experience.
Okay.
I don't know what it is or why it is or why it seems to project in laser lights, but I've heard of that before. Even I had an old boss that happen at the radio station. And it's, I don't know, but it clearly is something that does go on. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We do appreciate it. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. My name's Anna. I called in a couple other times. I think I told you guys I used to be able to see my grandpa when I was little and, like, talk to him and stuff as if he was real. I don't think I actually knew that he was a ghost until I kept being like, when do I get to see old grandpa? And then probably put it together. But I have more stories for you guys that I remembered by listening to you guys' podcast when I was at work. So I think I told you guys a couple stories about my Grandpa Carson and weird things that happened to his wife after he passed away. But I forgot one that happened to me. So it was the first Christmas without him because he passed away in the summer. So it was that like Christmas after that when this happened. And it's always a tradition that we go to church Christmas Eve night. So it was like him and his wife and, you know, all of us that would go. And my grandma always joked that if we didn't go, we wouldn't get our presents. So we saw them every single year, like my entire life on this day. And obviously when we went that year, it was extremely hard on my mom. She didn't do so well losing her dad. And not having him there was a pretty rough night for her. And you know, I looked over at her a few times and she had some tears rolling down. You know, his wife, my grandma, she just had an incredible hard time with his passing. You know, she read a ton of books. She always talked about him. You know, like she had the most experiences after he passed away, which, you know, I can understand. It was like things would move or things would turn on, and I always kind of thought that was him telling her that he's with her, he's okay. But this Christmas, or that Christmas that I'm talking about, it was after the service, and you know, everyone was hugging each other, saying Merry Christmas, like hellos, goodbyes, because kind of showed up late. But, and all of a sudden I feel this tap on my shoulder and I immediately looked around and, you know, you can normally see if someone taps you on the shoulder, like them turn away or them put their hand down, and I didn't see anything. And I was talking to my mom and my dad and I immediately asked them, did you see someone tap me on the shoulder, or do you know if someone tapped me on the shoulder? And then I asked everyone around us, like, did you tap me? Like, did you want to like tell me something? Or, and everyone said no. Like, no one tapped me. And, you know, I am learning that I'm either sensitive or at a clairvoyant reading. So my friend's clairvoyant and she told me I'm clairvoyant. And so I don't know if that's true, if I'm just sensitive, but I know I'm extremely sensitive to energy. Like, whether it be people's personal energy that they give off or energy in general, but I mean, I pick up on switches and energy so immediately, and it affects me. I mean, it affects my mood, it affects like my entire being. So, you know, I always just kind of thought my grandpa at that Christmas was you know, tapped me on my shoulder because I was just the most sensitive, and kind of him letting us know he was there with us, even though he couldn't be there with us. But, which, you know, was kind of nice, comforting. But the other story I have is another Ouija story, because I know I told you guys about a Ouija board story. This one is about my roommate, Tara. She, fake names, of course. She told me when we were living together, like, she loved Ouija boards, and I, like, forbid them in my house. Like, I heard a story when I was little from a pastor who, like, had to go to a house after they used the Ouija board, and drawers were flying out, and I was petrified, and I will not touch whenever, like, no. I know I'm super sensitive already, and I do not want things unleashed. But she, someone close to her was missing, and they couldn't find him. No one could find him. He wouldn't pick up his phone call. No one, like, he was just gone, and everyone was worried about him and stuff, and they called everywhere, and no one could find this guy. So her sister and I think it was like their friend decided to take out the Ouija board to help find him. And, you know, they did the traditional, like, is anyone here questions. And apparently they asked the spirits, like, do you know where he is? And it responded, yes. And then they asked him, like, where is he? And I'm pretty sure it gave it, like, a room number or a phone number, like, something, like, eerie or, you know, that's, like, not super direct. But it's, like, a clue. And so they followed that, and they actually ended up finding him. The Ouija board was right. Basically, she told me the Ouija board led her to her friend, and she always swore that they weren't dangerous after that. And, you know, I still always told her if she used one in our apartment, I was going to move out, because knowing my history, I'd be the one getting haunted by a demon or something. But, yeah, she actually, the Ouija board was good help in that instance, where it, like I said, like, I don't really remember if it was a phone number or anything like that, but basically that piece of information that it gave her led them to him, and he was in the hospital. So it was either, like, the hospital number or the room number or something within the hospital where it made them go there, and he was there. And, which, you know, thank God it was a good spirit and she's not, like, being haunted now. But, yeah, thought I would tell you those two little stories, because I think I told you guys all my other ones. I've been hearing footsteps around my apartment, and I live in an apartment, so, but it's like a three unit. There's a unit above us, and then there's a unit kind of next to us, but we're separated by like a concrete wall. And I mean, you could scream and the neighbor doesn't hear you. Like, we've tested it out. So, and the guy upstairs got evicted, so there's no one living upstairs, and it'll be me home alone, of course, because it's always when I'm alone, and I just hear footsteps, like someone's upstairs, or someone's walking around, or someone's somewhere, and it's just like, if my neighbor's doing jumping jacks and yelling and doing all this stuff and I can't hear it then, you know, like, how is, like, just casually walking around, how am I going to hear that sound? So I can't confirm it, but I don't know, it's just like one of those eerie things that makes me wonder. But I don't know, I hope I can call you guys again. I'm trying to get in touch with my paranormal side, so hopefully I'll have some good stories for you later. But love your show. All right, bye.
You think ghosts can amplify regular sounds just made by regular people when they want to, like on demand, just to annoy others? Oops.
I don't know. I'm kind of wondering.
I think I told you.
I'm kind of wondering if they don't have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can't make the footsteps sound themselves, can they, like you said, amplify something that's already going on?
Yeah. Where she's saying, like, if he can't hear this, you know, I can hear that, but they can't hear this, or, you know, this mm-hmm. or that. Like, I wonder if that's something, or that's part of the equation.
It could be.
As to what's going on, and I guess how to kind of make sense of it with the things that don't seem to logically make a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to show your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Catlin from Kentucky, and I want to tell you a couple stories that I had when I was in high school. I've called before. This is the same house I called about. I'm not going to tell one of the stories, but I had a couple more. I had a buddy I lived next to in high school, and his mom always said that their house was haunted. She said she always felt that her aunt was there and that she had died in the house earlier before they moved in. And I was a teenager, so I was like, yeah, whatever. Didn't really listen to it. But it started with me and my buddy was down in his basement and we were playing video games. Well, it was just me and him in the house. His cat was sitting on the couch with us, which was the only other animal they had. And we heard really loud footsteps go across the floor above us. And we thought it was his mom, but they sounded really heavy. I remember that. And we walked up the stairs, checked for his mom. Nobody was there. No car in the driveway or anything. So, that really freaked us out. I think we left the house and went down to my house for a little while. And another time, this was the next experience I had. We were playing video games in his basement again. And I had fallen asleep on his couch. Well, his couch was like 5 feet away from the stairs. And it was in the middle of the night. I usually leave the TV on down there because it kind of freaked, his basement freaked me out. And I guess he had turned the TV off before he went to bed. I wake up to the sound of somebody coming down the stairs. His stairs were super creaky, and you could definitely know it's when somebody's coming down. They're wooden. And I heard footsteps coming down each stair, and I still had my eyes closed and everything. And once I heard feet hit the tile floor, I kind of, you know, raised my head up and looked to see if anybody was there. Nobody was there. I went over to the light switch, and, you know, it was super dark down there, so I went over to the light switch to see if anybody had come down the stairs, and I just didn't see him, and nobody was down there in the basement with me, which really, really freaked me out, because I know 100% that it wasn't a dream. I was awake hearing this, and so I left their house in the middle of the night. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 or 4 in the morning, and walked to my house. I don't even think I slept that night after that. I just was kind of, you know, trying to rationalize it, I guess. But the last thing that happened in his house was the freakiest thing that's probably happened to me ever. I was, again, asleep on his basement, or in his basement on the couch. And at the end of their basement, they had this really big picture window. And there was a, like, I guess it was a kind of a closet thing that stuck out and overlapped the window a little bit. Well, when I opened my eyes, I could see something blocking the light out of it, and it was the silhouette of a person, all black. You know, I couldn't tell clothes. It was just one solid black figure. Well, I rubbed my eyes, and as soon as I did that, and my eyes became clear, I could see it turn and dart into the wall. And it kind of confused me. I hollered my friend's name, his sister, anybody that I could think that would be down there. I called their name out. Nobody ever answered. So after a few seconds, I got up and went over there and looked, and there was nobody there. It's just a little area with a dartboard. Nothing over there where they could have gotten out. That I stood there in just kind of like disbelief that I was seeing what I was seeing, trying again to rationalize it, and I couldn't. So I went upstairs. Well, I kind of darted upstairs. And yeah, I never spent the night in his basement again after that. I was kind of a skeptic up until that point, and that made me a believer. I have some other stories, not about that house, but I'll call again at another time and tell you that. And I've been watching your show or listening to your show for about 3 months now, and I'm at work 8 hours a day. I listen to it for all 8 hours. It's amazing. I love this show. Y'all are doing a really good job. Well, I appreciate you listening, and hope to hear it on your podcast. Bye.
I kind of wonder if when you see shadow people and they like all of a sudden realize you see them, they dart off.
Mm-hmm.
If somewhere in time there's somebody that's seeing a shadow person and then running away.
You meaning like they're seeing you as the shadow yeah. person and they're getting freaked out
and they're running off
mm-hmm.
because it's so weird. It's like you're a ghost. Why are you taking off like that just because we saw you?
Sure, and I think that's probably somewhat accurate.
I don't know.
You know, I think that there's sometimes where the ghosts, we're the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
We've had stories like that, so I don't think that's such a out there. Theory.
No, it just cracks me up.
It's one of those things to be interesting if that could ever be answered, if they ever discover, oh no, this can happen, something like this. I don't know if it ever be in our lifetime, but it's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And clearly not just something that happens to one person. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Caitlin from Ohio. I just wanted to share a story that I've been experiencing. So I once had a cat who was my best friend. I grew up with this cat. My mom had her before she was even born. And 2 years ago, she passed away at age 18. And I've been seeing her. Like, I could be anywhere, whether it was at school or my grandmother's or here at my house. I would always see the back of her legs or her tail, or sometimes even hear her meow. And just recently, something has been jumping on my bed. But when I look, because I have another cat, but I have to keep them out of my room because of my other animals. So when something jumps on my bed, I looked and nothing was there, but all of a sudden the sense of relief came rushing over me. So, this cat was my best friend. When I was upset, we would go to my room and she would listen while I vented about whatever I was upset about. Or whenever I was depressed because I was in the hospital for 3 weeks over Christmas and then I was sick for 3 years and not even in school. So that had a lot of emotional issues for me. So when this cat died, it added more emotional distress. I don't know if that's the reason why she stuck around, but I honestly think that she stuck around for me. And she was my mom's cat. She wasn't even mine. We were just like sisters. But I miss her a lot every day. But I always see her, like, out of the corner of my eye, I'll see her back legs or tail. I do have a demon that my mind created that he tells me all this horrible stuff about myself. But whenever I see magic, it counteracts the demon. I gave him the name Shadow Man because he lurks in the shadows and he has red eyes and blood dripping out of his mouth. And I can't even express it. So whenever he's around, out of the corner of my eye, I see magic sitting there. So I've kept a photo of her right next to me. Every night when I sleep, I look at her, or when I'm upset, I'll talk to the picture, which my friends think, what the heck are you doing? Like that. They think that. So thanks for letting me share my short story. I'll probably call in with some other ones. I know I just missed the pet episode, so, oh well. Thanks for letting me share my story, guys, and have a great day.
Have you ever had a pet return?
No, I haven't.
Would you want a pet to return?
Well, I mean, there was that one time we thought we heard Lena's caller right after she
passed away.
Yeah. But never heard anything else.
No.
But, you know, there's a lot of things out about supposedly cats and helping ward off evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much stock I put into that, but it kind of fits the story that maybe the cat's sticking around to help protect from things.
Cats seem to like know what's going on when they're alive of stuff we can't see half the time.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder what they're able to really sense on that side. Or it'd be really sucky if you're the cat and you're like, wait a second, I was so much better at sensing everything on that side and I'm dead and now I don't feel anything.
Now I'm not special anymore.
Yeah. And I'm like a dog. That's how the cats feel. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's Summer in Florida. Hope you guys are doing well. Since I last called, I became an EPP member. And thanks for showcasing my story on one of the episodes. That was really cool to hear. I called in today because I wanted to tell a really lighthearted story that I thought was really sweet. And it involved my middle daughter, who was 7 or 8 at the time. We stopped at 7-Eleven when she, because she wanted like a Slurpee or something. And so I gave her some cash and she goes, Mom, can I go in and do it myself? And I said, well, you know, sure. So I was parked right out front and I could see through the glass and watch her the whole time. And I think she kind of felt really cool because I gave her that independence for the first time. But so, you know, I was sitting there and I was watching her and I saw her go inside, and so she gets her Slurpee, and she goes to check out, and I see her talking to this older gentleman. He had, you know, white hair, gray hair, whatever, and he was walking with a cane, kind of slow, you know, and I was wondering, you know, what was going on. So she comes out, and she comes into the car, and I see the gentleman exit out the door behind her. Now, he's walking very slow, and now he turns right. We kind of make eye contact, and he smiles at me, and he nods, like, in a very cordial way, and he turns, and he starts walking down the sidewalk in the opposite direction. So I look down at my daughter, and I said, Christina, I said, who was that gentleman? She goes, oh, he said he wanted to pay for my Slurpee, and he said it was very nice to meet you, and I kind of thought that was weird, and in the 2 seconds that, you know, or 10 seconds that it took for me to look down and then look back up again after I talked to her, that when we looked up, or when I looked up again, that gentleman was gone. And he moved very slow, and there was nowhere for him to go, basically. When the sidewalk ends, there's another big, like, dumpster, and there's no turn along the side of the building, and in the time that it would have taken for him to, you know, for me to look at her, and it was literally maybe 10 seconds. And with him walking with a cane, there was no way that he would have ended up anywhere else. And I was like, that's really interesting. So anyway, I just wanted to share that story with you. I know it's a little quick, but I thought it was really sweet. I don't know that he didn't look like anybody that I recognized, or, you know, he's kind of a portly man, gray hair. Nobody that I recognized within my family anyway, but I just thought that was a really cute and interesting story. So I'm wondering if the ghost, maybe, or if he was a ghost, if he honored Slurpee. So, hey, that's what it is. Have a great day, guys.
Makes you wonder if he knew her from, I don't know, you know, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just because most time ghosts don't have money to buy things.
Knew her from somewhere, from being the creepy ghost that hangs out and watches her at her house.
Well, it's just, I don't know. It's just hard to know.
Sure. Well, I wonder if it was a ghost. I'm kind of leaning towards that direction of mm-hmm. this is just what that was. Either that, or it was, you know, a predator of some sort that was doing the MacGyver thing and had like the makeup and everything on. And you know, or was it? No, it was Mission Impossible where they ripped the face off. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then suddenly there's somebody completely different.
Yeah.
Maybe he did that in the alleyway. And then just the cocaine and all that was all an act. And then he realized, oh, she's going to say I bought her a Slurpee. And he just drops the cane, rips the face off, and he's gone. That's...
way to ruin that story for them.
I'm kidding.
I know.
I don't think... I think it was a ghost. I'm trying to think of a spectral Slurpee or something.
Okay.
How would you title it? I'm trying to find a word to rhyme with Slurpee.
I don't know.
But that's probably all it was.
Yeah.
Just a ghost buying a Slurpee. That's all. That's all it was. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for sharing that with us. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up on our website, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is to be an EPP, or you can do it through Patreon as well. And keep us on the air. Your support is what keeps the show alive. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.